rose triumphantly, and Satan's errors broken lie, destroyed hell's fiercest weapon. All hear, what cheer, Christ victorious, rising glorious, life is giving. He was dead, but now is living.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go and quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The two Marys come to the tomb at the breaking of dawn, about 6 o'clock. On that first day of the week, they come to check in on the work of death. Coming to see the tomb, Matthew says, not to anoint the body, but just to look at where Jesus lay. Perhaps that was because they were aware of the seal and the guard that had been placed there by the Romans and the Jewish temple authorities. The same ones that had conspired to kill Jesus now used all of their power to keep him bottled up. All the forces arrayed against the reign of God doing their best to keep Jesus in the tomb. But as the Marys are on their way, the ground moves. An earthquake. Something I have to admit I fear almost more than any natural disaster, because it's a moment where everything that seemed solid suddenly becomes unreliable. Where foundations move, structures shake and crumble. And then an angel, whose appearance is like lightning, appears from the sky with dazzling white clothes, shocks the guards into petrifaction, rolls back the stone sealing the tomb. That same stone that was a symbol of the power of the rule of this world, violence and death, sealed and guarded, that stone now becomes a seat from which the angel can watch the show. Literally putting the symbol of imperial power under their bum. A colleague of mine imagines the angel sitting there swinging their feet like a little kid in their high chair. The angel says to the women who have come to see the tomb, "Do not be afraid. I know you've come looking for Jesus who was crucified. You've come looking for a dead man. The one who history and the brutality of the Roman Empire had just swallowed up like so many other folks, forgotten to time. You've come looking for Jesus who was crucified. I wonder how often we do the same. Live our lives as if Jesus were dead, that he was some great thinker, but nothing more. And so we go through our days without connecting to God's word. We find meaning and purpose in our job, our family, our politics. We look at the sometimes terrifying realities in the world right now and become fearful or depressed. An increase in serious conflicts that can easily spill over to other nations. Things changing so fast we can't keep up. AI, technology, the very laws around us, it can be overwhelming. Sometimes leaves us feeling hopeless. And in the face of these things, if Jesus is dead, it would be hopeless. And it would only make sense to pledge our allegiances to things that are not Christ. You come seeking a dead man, the angel says. But guess what, he tells the Marys, you failed in your task. You can't see the Jesus who was crucified. You know why? Those powers that killed him, that have locked up the world in corruption, decay, and death, they've suffered their own earthquake. The ground has shifted under their feet, and what had looked so powerful and imposing, so solid, has crumbled around them. Their illusion of power has been shattered. Jesus has been raised. Alleluia, Christ is risen. See, the angel says, pointing to the empty tomb, he's already gone. All I did was reveal God's final act, God's greatest act. I pushed the stone aside and revealed God's true power. Because that morning, almost 2,000 years ago, showed the truth that no one and nothing will obstruct what God is doing. Not the powers of this world, not even death. Today is our salvation, because, as the theologian N.T. Wright says, Jesus is from now on running the show. Even though it doesn't look like it, because we have the wrong idea of what power is and how it works. If we take the New Testament seriously, we ought to see that the crucifixion of Jesus is the means by which God's kingdom is actually launched on earth as in heaven. Because the powers are defeated and this new world comes to birth. Friends, this whole event is something of a mystery to us, and probably always will be, because we aren't God. But there is something about the cross which is indeed Christ's coronation. There is something about the resurrection that is the inauguration of his reign, of the reign of God being present in the world in a way it had not been before. Friends, just 3 short months ago, we gathered one evening to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Emmanuel, as Matthew calls him, God with us. But today is the reason we did that. Because if Jesus was dead, if he was just another philosopher or influencer, then why go to all this trouble getting up early on a beautiful Sunday morning? We could just stay home and maybe read or listen to his words and go from there. But today we see the affirmation that Jesus has always been and continues to be God with us, Emmanuel. And that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God come to us in Jesus Christ. The angel invites the Marys, come see the empty tomb for yourselves. Okay, you got that? All right, now, Go tell the disciples he's going ahead of you to Galilee and you'll meet them there. Okay, my work's done. And the women turn on their heels. Their minds and bodies filled with the image of the empty tomb, the blazing light show of the angel swinging his feet. The Roman guards struck useless by God's power, and they feel bubbling up inside of them fear, but also an indescribable joy. The physical manifestation of God's grace stirring up inside of them like a fountain. And having seen the empty tomb, having turned to go and proclaim the good news that Jesus has been raised, who do they meet on the way? Who do they meet on the way? Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Boom, right there. Alive and loose in the world. And on meeting him, they respond the only way they can. They worship and praise him. Even as we do this morning, falling at the feet of Jesus, still filled with fear and joy, but clinging to the one who loves them, the one in whom their hope lies, who has defeated the powers of this world that defy God, including death. And Jesus speaks, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. It's a phrase repeated throughout the Gospel of Matthew to Joseph by the angel when told his wife is pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. To the disciples before Jesus sent them out and when he met them in the storm on the sea. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Jesus says. And he sends the Marys to go and tell. To invite the disciples to go out into the world where they will meet Jesus. Friends, Matthew shows us that God's life-giving work is not quiet. It shakes the very foundations of the world. It playfully sits on the rock of empire, which it thought would defeat the love of God. It scatters the guards and seal of the empire, dismisses its supposed power with a wave of its hand. And we are called to go into the world and do the same. Do not be afraid. To proclaim that despite the work of sin, death, and all those forces that defy God, the truth of today is Christ is risen. And this is where our hope comes from. The hope that allows us to join our voices to say to all the powers that defy God, to save into death in the name of Jesus Christ, piss right off. You have no ultimate power over me. I will not cower in fear of you. In Christ I stand up to you, O death, as I love my neighbor and my enemy. O death, you do not have the final word. Today is Easter. It's an upside down kind of day because Easter is an empty tomb. Easter is grief turned to joy. Easter is hope renewed. Easter is liberation from fear. Easter is life pulled from death. Easter is the revelation of where true power lies in the world. And it lies in the love of God. Come to us in Jesus, who came not to condemn the world, not to conquer the world, but to save it. And who on the cross reconciles all things to God's self, who forgives even those who crucified him, who unites us all through love and service, and who takes death into himself in order to give us life and to take away death's power. Easter is true power. Easter is true life. Easter is everything. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God.